Parshas Vayakhel Beis, Chelek Yud Aleph Lekutei Sichos, page 163. Shabbos Parshas Vayakhel Pekudei Tavshin Lamed Aleph. On the Pasuk, Vayas Betzalel Es Ha'arein, Betzalel made the ark, Rashi explains, Vayas Betzalel made it. And since he gave his soul for this work more than the other wise men, therefore it's called on his name. And it's understood that the intention of Rashi in this explanation is to answer the simple question that comes up from the words Vayas Betzalel, Betzalel made. Because what is different about the making of the ark, that only by the making of the ark does it say that Betzalel made it, and not as with the other vessels of the tabernacle, because by them it says Vayas, and he made. It doesn't mention his name. Therefore, Rashi answers that it was because he gave his soul for the work of the making the ark more than the other wise men, and therefore it's called on his name. However, we have to understand, it's understood that in general, with the work of the tabernacle, other people participated. People, wise men, participated. And it's impossible that each one of them should be involved with making all the parts of the tabernacle. But rather, each one of them had his particular part in the holy work of the tabernacle in a particular detail. So if that is the case, so we could explain the verse, Vayas Betzalel made it, that he actually made it. He himself made it, made the ark. And even though it's certain that Betzalel participated in all parts of the tabernacle, because he was the head of all the wise men, and he had a special spirit of Hashem and a special wisdom to make all the parts of the Mishkan, of the tabernacle, and to teach them how to make it. So it's as if he did it, or at least he showed them how to do it. Every single vessel of the Mishkan. And not only with the ark. But in any case, we can explain that the ark was the only vessel that Betzalel himself made. Or perhaps he made the ark without any help. And the reason for this is also understood according to the simple meaning of the verse. The ark was a very central, important vessel, and it was the holiest vessel of all the vessels of the tabernacle. And therefore, we could say that it was specifically made by Betzalel. He was the wisest of them, so the most important thing should be made by Betzalel. But if that is the case, we have to wonder, why is Rashi forced to take the verse out of its simple meaning? In saying Vayas Betzalel, the simple meaning would be that he himself made it. So why does Rashi have to explain it differently and explain that the work is only called on his name because he gave his soul for doing this work? We also have to understand, since the verse says, Vayas Betzalel made it, Rashi should have used the words of the verse. That, why is it called on his name? Because he gave his soul ala asiyah, on the work, on making it. But Rashi does not use the word making it, but he rather uses the word milacha, that he actually did the work. He uses the word work rather than that he just made it. Now we will understand all this from what Rashi says in Parshas Truma regarding the covering of the ark. And this is what Rashi says: although there was no measurement given for the thickness of the covering of the ark, our rabbis pirshu, they explained that it was the thickness of a hand's breadth, of a tefach. And seemingly, what is the reason that Rashi has to tell us in his explanation, just explaining the simple part of the verse, why is it necessary for him to tell us the thickness of the covering of the ark? And on all the other vessels, it doesn't tell us what the thickness is of the other vessels, especially that there's no proof from the simple verse, from the regular verse. And he's only bringing it from the fact that it was explained this way by our sages. And we have to say that with this he comes to explain, by the way, why the verse changes when it comes to making of the ark, the asu. When it comes, and it says about making the ark, vasu, in a term of plural. The asu aron asei shitim, they made the ark out of acacia wood, and it says that it uses the word they made, and not as by the other commandments, when they made the other vessels and the garments, and over there it says va'asita, and you made, in the singular. So why is this different? And it's understood when it says va'asita, and you made, in the singular, it does, the intention is not that only one person made it in the simple sense, because Moshe himself would be the one who was receiving the command, and it would be he would be the one who was making it. And it's impossible that he made all this by himself. On the contrary, in fact, it says that these vessels were made by each man who had wisdom in his heart, to make all this holy work. And even more so, Rashi explains that Moshe actually didn't do any work in the Mishkan. And this commandment that he received, Vasita, that you should make, in most of the cases, and all the time where it says Vasita, you should make, it's not to explain that the action itself was put upon Moshe, but rather it was a comment upon him to command others for making the tabernacle. And we find already in the language ba'asita of you shall make, this is suitable also. Even if he wouldn't do anything with his own actual hands. And an example for this is where it says, Vayihi Bone'ir, and he built a city. And Rashi explains And Cain built a city. And is it within a power of a person, one person, to build an entire city? However, the explanation that it was built through his mouth, through his command, through his request, and the same way the explanation is here, Vasita, you should make, it was made by his command, by his instruction. And if that is the case, why is it different when it comes to the commandment of making the ark? And therefore it says, Ve'asu, and they made, in the plural. Why is this different? So therefore we're forced to say that the unique aspect in making the ark, Ve'asu, they made the ark, in plural, is to show that the work of the Aron, the ark, was not made by one person, but rather it was made by many people, which is not the case with the other vessels of the Mishkan. Vasita, it includes, it could be either an individual or a plural, many people. And to explain it according to the simple meaning of the verse, the question, what is different about the ark from the other vessels, Rashi must explain, something about the ark, that therefore it's impossible that an individual should, one individual should make it, even though this detail is found in the oral Torah, that it's impossible that one person should make it. And therefore, Rashi copies from the explanation of our sages, and he prefaces it, and he expounds on it, that although there was no measurement given for the thickness, our rabbis tell us that the thickness was a hand's breadth, a tefach. And in all the other vessels, we do not know what the thickness was. But here it's different. And it doesn't say that they said it, but rather that they explained it, that it was, the thickness was a hand's breadth. And it's understood simply that it's impossible for the strength, with the strength of one person, to cut, to work, and to make such a piece of gold that weighs such an amount. Then this includes the gold of the covering and a large amount of gold that from which was made the two kruvim, the cherubs. So if they wouldn't have been possible to make with this without the help of additional people. And therefore, it uses the word va'asu, they made, in the plural form. And even though, when it came to the boards, it says, you shall make the boards, and Rashi explains that they were not able to erect them and stand them up because they were so heavy. But this is talking about the command of making them. And it's possible that when they actually made them, that they would be in the resting position. They wouldn't be erected. So therefore, it would be possible for one person to be working on it. So therefore, this is not compared to raising it up from the ground as it was with the Aron, that in order for the Aron to be complete, in order for the Ark to be complete, the kaporas, the covering, had to be lifted and put placed upon the Ark. And according to all of the above, in our parsha, that Bezalel made the Ark, the intention, according to the Pshat, is as follows. Seemingly, Bezalel himself made the Ark. Then would come up the question, as it says in Parshas Truma, that they made the Ark, that the making of the Ark was by many people. And the main thing is, it's impossible for one person to make it because the technical weight was too heavy for one person to lift. And therefore, Rashi has to explain, Vayas Bezalel is not according to the simple meaning that he himself made it by himself, but rather because he gave his soul, he put his soul into making of the Ark, and therefore it's called on his name. And even though certainly all the wise men who had wisdom in their heart, they certainly gave their soul for the work of the tabernacle, which they made. And this is regarding each one of them. Each one of them gave of his heart to come close to be involved with doing this work. Therefore, Rashi has to add about Bezalel that he gave his soul more than the other Chachamim, more than the other wise men. The other wise men were also devoted and also gave of their heart, but Bezalel did it even more, and that's why it's called on his name. But we still have to say, on the other hand, since the main advantage of Bezalel and the special thing about him was that he had to show everybody. He gave his heart about showing everybody how to do the work. He was the instructor, and he would show them, each one of these wise people, about every single job, every single type of work, how to do it. And for this, he needed a special talent, which was in addition to having wisdom, understanding, Chachma bin Tvuna and Das, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. And if so, certainly he gave his heart, his neshama, his soul, more than the other wise men, also in making the other vessels of the Mishkan. So why is the emphasis about his advantage specifically about making the Ark? Therefore, Rashi says explicitly, because he gave his soul for the work, and not on making it, but on the work. Because there's a difference between these two terms. When it says asiya, means making something, it includes all the details with which to complete the item. This includes many details that are not actual actions to make the item. But together with all the details, you could complete the item. As Rashi says, talking about the creation of the world, that Hashem made the world, and he set it up on its foundation. And he made it according to its form and its stature. And so it's understood regarding the making of the tabernacle. This is also understood that by the making of it, includes not only the work of and the action, the actual doing it, but it also includes all the details that are necessary for the building of the tabernacle and the vessels. Including is also the teaching, the learning, and the teaching about the building, which is not the case when it uses the word melacha, which means work. And this explanation of that is the actual work itself. And this is regarding the work of the Mishkan, the work of the tabernacle, the work and the action that was involved. And this we can see also from the words of Rashi, that it says that in the Torah, it first warns them about Shabbos, about keeping the Shabbos, in order to command us that the work of the Mishkan does not push away the Shabbos. Seemingly, everything that they did for the Mishkan doesn't push away the Shabbos. But there are several details that are permitted on Shabbos, as far as the Asiya, but not as far as the Malacha. Malacha was the actual work. So part of the Asiya, the making of it, is the learning about it, the instruction. So therefore, Rashi says to command that the work of the Mishkan, the work in actuality, this is what does not push away the Shabbos. And the same thing is in our situation. The special giving over of his soul, of Bezalel, regarding the ark, was regarding the actual work of the Aron, the actual building of the Aron. Also in the work and the action of making the Aron, which is not the case with the other vessels of the Mishkan, which could have been made by his instruction, by showing them, but not by the actual doing it. And with this, Bezalel's name comes on the ark because he actually did it. He actually did it himself, perhaps with other people's help, but he put more of his neshama into it because it wasn't just an instruction, but it was actually the hands-on of making the Mishkan. From the Wine of Torah in Rashi's commentary, translated by Rabbi Eli Block. The supra-rational devotion of soul as expressed in self-sacrifice is more lofty than any faculty of the soul, both its encompassing powers and its internalized intellectual and emotional powers. The objective is, however, for the supra-rational devotion to penetrate every part of the soul, down to its last resource, the power of action. This means that even a person's actions should be in accord with his supra-rational devotion. Rashi alludes to this imperative in his comments on Bezalel's devotion regarding the Ark. Because he devoted himself to the work, work, as previously mentioned, refers to pure physical activity. This means that Bezalel's devotion penetrated every part of him to the point that it was noticeable even in his physical act of building. This leads to a more profound transformation. Not only does the soul's supra-rational devotion influence the behavior of the soul's faculties, but it actually transforms those powers to become higher, more potent versions of themselves than would otherwise be possible. Rashi alludes to this by continuing, more than otherwise men. Bezalel's devotion augmented the rest of his soul powers, even his highest faculty of wisdom, causing it to be more than otherwise men, those who did not exert themselves like Bezalel did. This is also seen from the statement, there is no wise man like one who has overcome a challenge. A challenge in practical matters of observance elicits the quality of suprarational devotion, which then augments his wisdom to the point that there is no wise man like him. Rashi concludes, it is called by his name. In a mystical reading, this means that devotion calls forth the name. Name alludes to the divine quality of keser, or crown, which is above all other divine faculties and influences them directly. The soul's suprarational devotion affects the entirety of the soul because it calls and elicits the quality of name, keser, which in turn elevates the entire person. Bezalel inherited this quality of self-sacrifice from his grandfather Hur, who gave his life while trying to prevent the sin of the golden calf. This sin was the antithesis of the Mishkan, where I, God, will dwell. This is why God commanded the Jews to build the Mishkan, so the nations will know that Hashem has forgiven them the sin of the golden calf. Hur, in other words, gave his life for the sake of drawing down the divine presence into this world. Therefore, his grandson Bezalel devoted himself to the work of the Ark, the vehicle where Hashem's presence was most fully revealed. And therefore, this idea is alluded to in the names of Bezalel, his father, and his grandfather. Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur. Uri is related to the word for light in Hebrew, or. Light refers to the process by which Hashem expresses himself in creation, or to the level of Chachma, wisdom, the very first level of Hashem's manifest expression. The name Hur can also mean cavity. This alludes to the feminine dimension of receptivity, known as Malchus, the last level in the chain of divine expression. Bezalel is a composite of two words, Tzel El, meaning the shade of Hashem, the shade of El. El is a divine name referring to Hashem's benevolence, the primary quality of Hashem's creative process. Or it can refer to an even higher level, above the whole system of the ten sefirot, for El is the first divine name in the 13 attributes of mercy. And certainly, the shade of El refers to a level that transcends and encompasses, like shade, even the name of El. Bezalel's name suggests the above idea, that supra-rational devotion transcends the entire soul, both its encompassing and internalized powers, and draws down from Keter a dimension above all Sefirot. Based on the above, we can understand why Moshe commanded Bezalel to first fashion the vessels and then make the Mishkan. Yet Bezalel reversed the order and first made the Mishkan and then fashioned the vessels. Bezalel transcends both the encompassing and internalized light. On that level, the internalized mode is actually rooted deeper than the seemingly more lofty encompassing mode. Moshe wanted Bezalel to build in accordance with his position, and therefore to make the vessels first, which internalizes its contents, and only then make the Mishkan the structure that encompasses the vessels. But Bezalel said that although this was his personal position, the people still have to work their way up to that recognition. He therefore first made the Mishkan and then the vessels, because in man's divine service, he must first draw down the encompassing light, which then affects his inner soul powers.